the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza Hillman here. Welcome to my show, the Approaching the Natural podcast, my weekly show where I come here every week to discuss all things related to health and happiness. Welcome to you one and all. If you're just joining me, no matter how you found me, I'm glad you're here and I hope that it sticks. And if you've been here before, then you know, and hopefully it did stick for you. And otherwise, you're being forced by your parent, spouse, and or sibling. And that's not nice of them. Okay, that's not very nice of them. I mean, I think it's a good choice by them. I'm just saying it's not, their implementation is not the nicest way possible. This is my fourth start this week. I'm going to roll it. I can't do a fifth start. Okay, the last one was like 2 minutes long of just wasted space that I had to start over again. So we're rolling with this one for better or for worse. Okay, I'm putting content out there. Jiminy Christmas. Okay, if you are just joining me, I do talk about all things. My Approaching the Natural philosophy, and above all else, this is a philosophy podcast. The idea is that we are still animals, and that's not the idea. That's a fact. And the idea, though, is to make you all aware more and more each week that of that fact. Not so that you change the way that you live in the world necessarily. You still go to your jobs and you do your stuff, but you have a different mindset with regard to that. You add in a little bit more of what's natural to you. You appeal to the animal side of you. You go, okay, yeah, I get the job and I get the packaged meals and everything, but the animal side of me needs just simple food that's actual food. And the mental animal side of me needs very simple time with family and some fun, some very, very simple to be happy kinds of things. And so I want to pop the, I'm going to appeal to the animal side too. And then the other part of me that likes to go to, a job every day and work, and that's there too. And we go to a market and we shop and we do all those normal things. We all do, but we kind of come at it with a sort of a approaching the natural way. I can't stress the word approaching more. I mean, it is really about approaching. It's a mindset. It's not, there's a balance there. It's not going overboard, not being, you know, trying to be 100% natural and getting in your car. It just doesn't work, right? So we do the best we can here. And because we have a mindset of doing the best we can, we do better just by engaging that side of ourselves of self-care, self-nourishment. This podcast is dedicated to that, as is my work as a certified nutritionist, health coach. I work with people all over the country. And I also head up the wellness center at the Stanford Inn. So my website, sidgarzahillman.com, where you can find all things out about me, plus buy some podcast-related things. I don't sell anything nutritional, but I do sell things like Approaching the Natural t-shirts, some mugs like that, and WWID, What Would I Do? Not me, you. Bracelets. I just realized that I wear one every day. Not I know that, but I have to replace mine. It gets worn out. I asked myself how many times, 50,000 times, what would I do that the bracelet itself gets worn out, even though I'm not even touching it. Just me asking the question, the bracelet goes, ugh, I'm losing another layer to his nuttiness. New t-shirts on the way, you guys. New t-shirts on the way. They shipped. They shipped on Thursday. They're not in yet. Now you're thinking to yourself, oh yeah, okay. Yeah, new Approaching the Natural t-shirts. We bought one already, but so, I mean, these aren't Approaching the Natural t-shirts, you guys. They're not Approaching the what is going on? Did I shake your world? Are you disoriented? That's okay. Pull over, take some deep breaths. You'll get back on. Get on. That's why the shoulder's there for when this podcast blows your mind, man. Just pull over to the shoulder, take some deep breaths, pop in a Mentos, and boom, you're back on the freeway just like nothing happened, okay? But there's new t-shirts. I'm not even going to mention what they are. I need them in my hands because I don't want to get everybody excited as I am. That's hopeful. That's a hopeful statement that I just made, that everybody will be even at all excited about these things. But I can't imagine they wouldn't be. Anyhow, StanfordInn.com is where I work, like I said. And as I mentioned that last week, there's Dining at the Ravens books and The Art of Play, a cookbook by the Ravens restaurant at the Stanford Inn, Dining at the Ravens, and then Joan Stanford's Art of Play. And of course, my book, Approaching the Natural, A Health Manifesto. If you put your email address in my website, sidgarzahillman.com, you can get a free chapter of said book. Dig? Okay. You can also donate by pushing a button, just a mere fake screen button that makes you feel like you're pushing a physical button on my website, and you can donate to my podcast, and people have, and I appreciate that. Some people, $5 a month, $2, $3 a month, $4 a month. I'm not even kidding. I love it. It's fantastic. I can't tell you how much it helps. Big time. Okay. I got some projects in the works right now, and those donations really come through big, huge. Can't even tell you. Okay. I'll be in San Francisco on October 9th doing a little talky talk there at the World Veg Fest. I'll be in Atlanta November 12th. I'll be running the North Face 50K December. And next year in March, I'll be at the Marshall, Texas Health Fest doing that voodoo that I do so well. Low note? Yeah, possibly. Low note. Let me try to bring it back up. I'm on YouTube, you guys. Sid Garza-Hillman. There's three more videos, only because last week I did one, the podcast on Sunday, and I hadn't posted one. So there's Here's the Secret, where you get to see me solve a Rubik's Cube. How does that relate to health and happiness? It just does. Can you just list, just do what I tell you? It does. Okay? It's related. The Rubik's Cube is intimately related to living better in the modern world. Okay? I got put in timeout about just being alone and getting used to that, going on runs by myself. And then the newest, Compassion and Colorado. Just got back last night from a trip with my father. If you have followed me on YouTube, you will know that 2 years ago, I posted a video of why we take care of ourselves, which was a sort of a, I'm proud of that video actually, but you might want to look into that. And it's about my dad and that trip that we took 2 years ago, but it's sort of a re-establishing a tradition that happened when I was a kid, which is that we would go every year to Colorado Springs. My dad went to the Air Force Academy, and we would go for a football game, either against Army or Navy. And it was fun as a kid, and we thought, why don't we do that again? What would that be like? And it was really fun. So this year, the change was that my brother came with us. I haven't seen him in a very long time. Just now seeing him, he had some, you know, rough times, and he's back in the mix and digging that. Had a really good time with him, and he's going to come up this weekend to visit the family and kind of get back into that whole swing of things. So I'm very excited about. My kids love him. Okay, love Uncle Daniel. They're just like, Uncle Daniel. He's just, we can't do anything wrong. Just nothing. But in that video that you will maybe see, and if you're there, you might as well subscribe to my YouTube channel. I mean, why wouldn't you? I don't know why. But in that Compassion in Colorado, you'll see, you know, cuts of the trip there and everything. And then just boom, out of context, a little moment about compassion, a little thoughts on my brain about, and you might say to yourself, what does that have to do with Colorado at all? And here's what it has to do with Colorado, okay? Nothing. Zero, 100%. It was what I was thinking about, and I wanted to share it on the video. Okay, I don't know what happened there. It just was in my hotel room, and I was like, what is this? How about, okay, let me turn on the camera. Just like that, okay? And that's what I did. The thought was this, that, you know, I ask these questions a lot because, of course, it's the Approaching the Natural podcast. I consider and think about what is natural for us. It comes up obviously a lot in this podcast entitled Approaching the Natural. But it's sort of the premise of my book and my approach and everything else is like, is that mindset of animal? And I think it's easy to define, at least physically, what is natural for us as a human being, what is natural and normal for us as a human animal. I think physically we have a sort of a sense of that based on the physical traits of us, the intestine length and the way that we have opposable thumbs and how we are good long distance runners and endurance kinds of that kind of animal and the acidity in our stomach and all these kinds of like very, very enzyme in our mouths kinds of ways that we look at our physical thing. And we can sort of craft a thing and say, okay, well, all things being equal, this would be most natural for us as a human being. I think it's there. It's convincing to me. It's kind of what it is. Okay. But mentally, that's a little harder. I don't think that we have an idea that we go, okay, it's natural for a human being to be XYZ emotionally or psychologically. I think it's a little harder to do that. I do think, and I mentioned it before, I was going to do an episode called Conservation Core, which now I've sort of blown that up because now I just got to talk about it here without doing a whole episode on it. But I think that we are designed to conserve. I think we're not trying to be more stressed. I think we're trying to conserve mental energy. I think that's, like I said recently, that the technology and the things like light box food, if you're wondering what that is, go get my free chapter because it'll explain it. But those tailor perfectly to this kind of instinct of conservation. We don't want to blow our wads. We don't want to expend a whole bunch of energy finding food if we can just get it easily. And we want to get the most calorically dense food we can find because we want to, in the wild, we would just sort of like take advantage of that because I don't know when the next meal is kind of coming. So there's sort of a conservation way. Now, what I'm getting at is I talked about compassion in this video, and it's because I wonder, and the question I pose that I don't necessarily have 100% answered, but I have a feeling about it, is compassion and kindness more natural? Is it a more natural state for a human being? I don't have that answer. It feels like that's the case, and here's why. Because I think it takes a lot less energy. I think it does. It has physical, if you want to come back to the physical, which I do, I think it has a much more beneficial result in the physical body when we act emotionally and psychologically in ways that are positive and kind, and I would even delve into creative, but definitely in the compassionate world. I think it fuels us, it gives us, it feels better. And I think that because it feels better, it's a less stressful state or not stressful at all. It gives us the juice. I mean, that's why we love being with family, assuming that we love our families, but it's because it's life affirming. It's, you feel energized by that state. It is an energy increaser, not an energy suck, like some family can be. By the way, I'm just saying, assuming you have just amazing, I know we all have amazing families, that just, there's nothing wrong with them at all. All of our families are perfect. There's no way family causes stress. In freaking possible. So probably a bad example there. But in that sort of conservation idea that we do better, or at least we're designed, wired, hardwired to conserve, to not expend, to not blow ourselves out, to try to figure out ways to not be as angry, to not be as, you know, negative. I think that's an energy suck. Definitely something that I, you know, battle with and work on in my own life and everything. But the question I asked in the video was, is it a natural state? Is it a more human state to be compassionate? And I do think that that is the case. I think that we are, I don't know what that is. It makes it, if we're different than other animals, I don't know. That's hard to say. And I don't really want to put my brain into that whole argument of mess, like we know that for a fact, because I don't think we do. But I think that if we just focus on ourselves, we can say, yeah, that feels better. That feels better, much in the same way that if we can get to the point past the butter coffee, high protein, nutty nut, and say, regardless of fat, protein, or carbohydrate, because it's sort of like just an absolutely worthless conversation, can we have a conversation about nourishment no matter what? Is it, can we eat food that is nourishing to us, that fuels our body in a positive way? Does that feel right? Does it feel good? Is moving our bodies, does that feel good? Do we feel energized when we come back from a workout or any kind of exercise or movement that isn't super stressful, that we're not beating ourselves up over? We actually have more energy. It's this weird thing of like, you feel fatigued and sluggish when you wake up in the morning, you go on a light walk, you do some deep breathing, technically you're expending energy, but by gum, if you don't come back and feel in energy, more energy, it actually brings in more energy to you and sort of unlocks just an opening in you. It kind of opens you up to the day. It's amazing. And I did say buy gum, and I apologize for that. I'm going to have to rate this PG-13. I'm sorry about that. So if you're listening to kids, if you've got kids, I'm sorry, I should have bleeped that out. Because I feel bad about that. So anyway, it's sort of like a what we do best discussion in my own head. It fuels my, not to be talking about fuel all the time, but it does fuel my practice. It fuels my podcast of this question of what is it really to be human? What is it, what are the things that we do best as a human being? And I think that being creative and being compassionate is one of those things. I think compassionate for each other and compassionate for other beings on the earth and compassionate for the earth itself. I think there's moments where we tap into that and say, yeah, that's just, it's just beyond words how right that is for us. And then we get distracted by the minutia of you know, biased opinions and you know, marketing and advertising, and we get swept up into the madness. But in those moments that I always crave and try to train you to find, I think we would probably agree pretty well on what it is to be human, and even humane for that matter. And that comes down to an email I got a few weeks ago, and I meant to talk about it But it just, I've just been kind of kicking it down the can, but I wanted to mention it because I think it's a really cool thing. But one of my listeners is in New Zealand, and you guys know how I feel about New Zealand. I haven't mentioned it nearly enough recently, but I'm obsessed with all things Australian and New Zealand. And I think they're the same country. I don't know. We're not required in the U.S. to know anything about any other country except us. So just so you guys know, it's like a federal mandate. Like, our students, like, don't learn about other countries because it's not necessary. That's kind of what we're taught, and I understand that. So I know that there's things down there. That's how we refer to those countries. We say, oh, those are the ones down there, we like to say. And so anyway, I got an email from a woman down there, and she said that she wrote me a really nice email, and she said that, and I actually met her in Berkeley because she was up visiting, so it was kind of cool. And so she said that there was a restaurant in her town in New Zealand down there that added a, she happens to be plant-based, and I don't really talk about it too much on this podcast, but this is what it is. This restaurant added a plant-based dish. And she had this simultaneous kind of experience where she felt like, good for you, but that's like nothing. Good for you, but man, you should be doing way more than that. This was her, okay? And it made me, again, realize, like, we are a complex being psychologically. We can at the same time feel judgmental, or at least what I would say just negatively, just like harsh, like, you aren't doing enough. And at the same time, we go, you're doing a lot. That's amazing. At the same time, we have that same reaction in our brains. And like the thing that I talked about last week, which is getting it out of your head, this is why I'm so like, people who go, don't be judgmental. It's like, yeah, that's what we do best. One of the things that's human is we do judge. We do make choice. We have to. We can't survive in the modern world without this. We're not wandering around the forest going, gosh, let me taste a little of that. Oh, it tastes poison. I won't eat it. Oh, I'll eat that because it tastes right. We have to walk into a market now and make a judgment, a supermarket of food. We have to be successful in the modern world, we have to rely better on our judgment, who we spend time with, how we choose our food. Do we move our bodies or not? Those are judgments. Those are choices that we are not designed necessarily to make, or that we haven't had to make for most of our evolution, and now we're having to. I don't want to be like, don't be judgmental. No, I judge the crap out of everything, because here's the difference. It's what you act on. And the thing is what she chose to act on was the compassion side of that. And she acted on that, and guess what? Learned from the other side. Learned from the judgment. She learned from feeling both of those things and deciding, well, I am the person who goes, good for you because you're making an effort and that's awesome. And I want to be positive about that because it feels better to her to highlight the positive part of that scenario than to be like, oh, you totally could have done more. That's like ridiculous. You didn't do nearly. And then she's in a bad mood and they don't change because they put the wall up and go, she's a crazy person and they're not going to change anything. And thank goodness she's never going to come back here because we don't blah, blah, blah. Okay. So make the judgment. And then you act on one thing and you learn from the other. You act on the compassion, or she did in this case, act on the compassion, learn from the other. And what she learned was, that ain't me. I mean, I get it, and I wish they were doing more, so that's partly her, but I'm not going to act on that because it's not going to do anything good. And out of that muddle, she emerged victorious. Win-win. The definition of win-win. Restaurant wins, gets a positive accolades from her. She wins, feels better, less stress for her. Dig, moving on, boom. Got it? Okay. If you follow me on social media, which I don't know if you do or not, and frankly, I'm just it's taking the breath right out of me, except for YouTube, which is technically social media, and I freaking love it, and Strava. But if you follow me on Facebook and Twitter, I do post on there, and one of the things I posted recently was a running retreat that I'm doing in October 21st through the 24th of 2016. It's a running retreat I got invited to speak at. It's called Actually, I have the information right here. Are you guys catching this? I freaking have the information. It's called the Mendocino Healthy Running Retreat, Fitness for Body and Mind. It's running, yoga, Pilates. It's in Mendocino. If you're in the Bay Area or Sacramento, it's the perfect thing for you to do. It's totally affordable, and it's like 3 days, three nights at this ranch called the Yokayo Ranch. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's wine pairing. There's daily yoga classes. There's Pilates. they have like excursions, like wine tasting and brewery tours. And of course there's running, and I'm doing a couple talks on, you know, the whole nutrition thing and exercise and that whole approaching the natural kind of mindset. I will be doing a talk there. So anyway, if you're interested in that, go to mendoevents.net. That's mendoevents.net, not .com, .net. And there is a discount if you decide to sign up. Put in Coach Tom. That's what he told me. Coach Tom, the guy putting it on, is this nice guy, Dave. And he goes, yeah, just tell your listeners, Coach Tom, and it's already affordable, by the way. And then now there's a discount on top of that, which is pretty cool. Okay? There are some spaces left, I believe. So again, mendoevents.net. And then the discount is Coach Tom. Dig? Good? Okay, good. I hope to see you there. I think it'll be fun. There's good running out there too, by the way. So I am excited about that. Okay. Next up on the discussion today is my dial back day. Digging the whole not eating on Mondays till dinner. Just get up. Here's why. Didn't feel hungry at all today. Never. Last week I had a feeling, a pang of hunger, and then I just was like, well, if it keeps coming, I'll eat. Didn't. It just went away. But today didn't even come. Just drank water all day. Just feeling good. Why do I love it so much? Because I get up, make smoothies for the family, and then just get in my car with two bottles of water and go on my way. Like, no, now I've got my getting ready time to just almost zero, filling water in a jar. But eating tonight, no problem. Not calorically restricting. I'll probably make it up at some point during the week, but just nice. My brain works a little bit better. And I'm just realizing by not doing this and having not done it enough, how much of a slog it is for my body and mind to be just stuffing the face multiple times per day. And I'm eating really healthy. It's not even a health issue. I think it's just a digestion energy expenditure model that I don't think is, again, to come back to natural, I don't think that's natural. I did a live Q&A with Matt Frazier. And by the way, Health Made Simple, if you guys are just joining me, it's a meal plan system that I launched with Matt Frazier. Go back and listen to other episodes because I don't want to go through the whole rigmarole, but it's a really awesome meal plan system that teaches you the tools to create your own so that you don't long-term 10 years later need a meal system. You're like, oh yeah, I learned this thing. It took me a year and a half, 2 years, and I totally dialed it in, and now I've been eating this way for 8 years and it's been awesome. That's what this is. Okay, nomeatathlete.com/meal-plan-system. There's live Q&As with Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, and me every month, plus podcasts and videos and just all sorts of awesome stuff. And it's totally affordable. It's like $8 a month and it's just nothing, like nothing. I can't believe it's that cheap. But really I can't. It's kind of cool. But back to this deal is Matt and I did a live Q&A and we were talking about sort of this whole idea of three meals a day. And I don't think there's different schools of that. And I think that for me as a health coach, I'm not married to either school because I'm trying to help people tailor, at least, you know, food is one of very many things I deal with clients, but I'm trying to help people sort of craft a healthy eating regimen that, guess what, fits into the context of their lives. So if they work a job where they get up and go to work and they take a lunch break and they come home and they eat dinner, then three meals a day may be just the best thing they got going. For me, I don't take a lunch break. So that's why I'm doing the either not eating like I do on Mondays, or I'm doing a banana shake or something where I'm just sipping it throughout the day because I'm just sort of working and eating at the same time. I think naturally we didn't sit down in the middle of the forest with a tablecloth over a tree stump and light two candles and cook and prep and chop. And I think we didn't do that. I think if we walked across and found some sort of nut, natural nut or something, we would pick some and carry them with us and sort of snack throughout the day. I don't think that our caloric intake at any given time was massive the way that it is now. When we sit down for a meal and eat 600 or 700 calories, no wonder we want to sleep on the couch. It's exhausting. It's a huge amount of calories all at once. And I think it's generally best spread throughout the day. But on top of that, I think it's awesome to, at least for me, and I'm not recommending this to anybody, okay, period. Please do not be like, well, I tried it and blah, 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 okay? But I personally am experimenting with not eating sometimes, just skipping a meal. It was really nice when I was traveling. I was like, oh, what am I going to do at the airport? Oh, wait, I don't have to eat. Like, it's fine. I can miss a meal. It's not going to be the end of the world. I don't get blood sugar craziness. I don't think that ever existed anyway. I think it was a habitual reaction physically, which was my body was like, aren't we supposed to get food right now? Because it's 10:13 a.m. And I was like, yeah, but not today. Well, we're going to feel wonky. And I go, okay. But then next week it was like, oh yeah. Did 10:13 go by? Oh, okay. Yeah. Go back to your book. So pretty great. So just a lot of freedom of like, I don't have to eat on schedule. I can skip it and I'll be totally fine. Here's how I know my energy in my runs has been fine. My mental clarity has been fine. I'm actually increased. That's better. It's been better. So those are the sort of the markers of like, am I losing weight? No. Although back to, and I did take a really awesome run in Colorado, by the way, on trails up in the, it's called Garden of the Gods. It's like these red rock formations. Totally awesome, you guys, if you ever can get to Colorado Springs. And Thought for Food, I was a guest on their podcast, and I think I mentioned that last week, but they're going to launch that. I'll let you guys know when that comes. But they're in Boulder, so they were like, come over to Boulder, and I couldn't make it over. It's a quick trip, you know, the Air Force Academy thing. However, great trail run, and I'm running really well. And I do think that the breathing and the cold showering thing is helping my running. I just don't know how to get around making that conclusion. It's just, to me, it's happening. I am addicted to cold showers now. I love them. They are, talk about energizing. When I was in Colorado, I was like, I'll be all right out, and just jumped in, just ice cold shower for 4 or 5 minutes and just get out and just feeling like a freaking champion. Okay, just Rocky freaking Balboa. Okay. But that is the Wim Hof program. I am just about to finish up week 5. That was a week of 10-minute cold showers. It's taken me about 9 days to finish that week, or almost 10 days because of the travel. I didn't do it in the hotel room. Hey, you guys, can you wait an hour while I do some breathing and yoga and take a 10-minute cold shower? Yeah, not. But it's been great. Now, here's some of the nutty nut stuff that's been happening. Okay, measured. It's a study of one, so take it with a grain of salt. My running, my post-run, I have been taking during this process my pulse. So after I finish a run, I'll check my heart rate. It's an average of 3 to 5 heartbeats less at the end of every run. And I'm talking about whether I'm doing an interval run, a tempo run, or an easy run. It's relatively 3 to 5 heartbeats less. So obviously it's overall higher when I do an interval run, but it's 3 to 5 heartbeats less than it was before I started this program. That means my body is working not as hard. Talk about conservation. I'm running faster with less expenditure of heartbeats. Dig. I think I'm becoming more efficient in the utilization of oxygen. I'm able to breathe regularly during the runs, even when I'm running interval running faster. I'm maintaining a very regular breath and able to take deep breaths throughout that time. I'm not gasping for breath or just feeling like I'm out of breath ever. Got it? Okay. I have also, and this was never my intention, but I've lost about 8 pounds. I wasn't really overweight, but you know, I'm always kind of a waffle of like 5 pounds here and there, but tightening up, feeling really good about that. Again, I'm not concerned. I don't really give a crap about that unless I'm starting to feel fatigued. And you know, if I have an energy expenditure, and remember that you know, if you guys quickly see somebody skinny in the media and you go, oh my gosh, they're anorexic. It's, if they're active and doing stuff and riding bikes and running, they're probably not anorexic. Okay. That's a serious, serious thing. And usually it means some serious heavy duty physical effects of sickness, chronic fatigue, injury. That's a psychological, very go get help immediately kind of thing. We throw that word around so fast. Like, they're anorexic, but they go ride a bike for 30 miles and they're feeling good and running all over the place and look fantastic and they got good skin, but they happen to be skinny. Okay. So all I know is that I judge my own weight only by this. I just judge my own health. I don't give a crap about weight. I really know when I'm not as energetic, when my running is lagging, when I'm feeling just kind of dumpy, then I know I probably need to or want to sort of tighten things up a little bit. That's what's been happening through here. Sure, I'm sure it has something to do with yoga and the things that I'm doing there. But the fact of the matter is, you guys know how I feel. It's mostly about food. Very little about exercise. I know plenty of people who exercise a ton and don't lose weight. Okay. That's a stress issue for me. So for me, it's just a balance of that, of like, okay, am I stressed? Am I not stressed? Feeling good. So I'm feeling good. I shed a little weight. I'm feeling tight and good. My running is improving. So I figure, I ain't going to rock that freaking boat. But the number one point I want to make about this whole Wim Hof thing, and by number one, I mean 2 points I'm going to make, and it's going to grow. It's exponentially growing the amount of points I'm going to make here. But the number two point is that I'm not recommending it yet because I'm in week 5. Okay, number two. Now, I know there's been listeners who've joined up, and I think it's fantastic, but I'm very clear. Like, I'm not endorsing this thing. I'm just seeing amazing stuff, and I want to keep you guys posted on it as well. Okay, dig, good, dude. Number one point. I am hyper, period. I'm hyper. No, I'm hyper-focused on the short-term nature of this program. This is a 10-week program that's probably going to take me more like 12 weeks or 13 weeks, but neither here nor there. It's short-term. It is short-term. It's going to be done. And when it's done, I'm going to be left high and dry by nobody but me. And here's what I mean. The program ends after 10 weeks, but my knowledge and action certainly does not end after 10 to 12 weeks, period. Now, can I make the decision of never to do any of this stuff ever again? Of course. If it doesn't work for me, or it turns out at the end to be like, I think it's been an incredible thing. Even if it's a failure, I will have learned a lot from it. I will have tried something cool. I didn't have to leave my family to do it. It's been no problem. I do it at night. I'm sleeping fantastic. I'm not going to worry about any of that stuff. At the same time, at the end of the 10 or 12 weeks, I am already formulating in my brain, just not with a ton of effort, but just kind of in the back of my head, like, okay, when this ends, what would I maybe continue with thus far? And I'm not getting there all the way because I still have 5 weeks to go. I'm assuming there's a lot more stuff to learn. I don't know. I haven't looked ahead. But I believe that it's enough benefit to me now that I will continue in some fashion that, again, guess what, fits into my overall life to continue this, because I do feel like it's been extremely beneficial to me. The point is that I didn't get this doing this in 10 weeks because I thought it was going to solve everything for me and change my life. Is it going to change my life? Yes. Every experience we have changes our life in some way. But I didn't think it was going to make me 100% a different health type person, or allow me to reach a, you know, just an amazing different fitness level that after 10 weeks of the Wim Hof program, I was going to be able to run 100 miles standing on my hands. Okay? No. But it's an introduction to a new way of maybe approaching my life, an introduction to new techniques that I, before this, hadn't experienced. How cool. You see what I'm getting at yet? Diets. And again, I'm not anti-diet. I've never said I'm anti-diet. I'm only anti-diet if you think that 21 days of doing something is going to change your life for the long run, because it may change the way you think about things, but it's not going to change you physically for the long run unless you learn how to stick with it for the long run. The way I look at the Wim Hof thing, assuming that it's a successful thing, is what's it going to look like 5 years from now? That's how I'm thinking. That's how I think. I literally think, okay, but this is 10 weeks, so this is just the learning of it. I'm not looking for results here. I'm getting them, but I'm not looking for them. I didn't do this because I wanted to be running faster at week 5. I did it thinking I probably won't see anything, but if I can learn how to do this, what happens in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? What does that look like? I understand the short-term nature of this. And I think that if you guys understand the short-term nature of any program that you do, you'll get the benefits. Regardless of whether that program becomes successful or not, you will learn something because of the way that you approach these things. If you come to a diet as a small stepper, the way that I'm coming to this Wim Hof program as a small stepper, it will make me successful because I know the way that my brain is trained, because I've been doing this a long time and I'm a small stepper through and through, that I'm looking for things to learn. My filter is, what can I glean from this? What am I learning? What can I take? What can I internalize? What can I extend past the 10 to 12 weeks? Boom. I'm already formulating. So let's say you're, as a small stepper, jump into a diet, and it's a 21-day diet. And you go, yeah, I know the 21 days, I might lose some weight. I don't know, it's sort of ancillary. I don't really give a crap. It's whether I'm sticking with that 2 years later if I've still lost the weight. Okay, yeah, we'll start talking about the success of this way of eating, but it's a good thing to learn. And oh, wait, during this, I found out that I really loved chickpeas and never knew that. And I learned how to cook a new thing. And I learned that these dishes are super easy. And so I'm going to keep doing with those kinds of things. Or I took this 10-week DVD fitness thing, and I learned that 10 minutes a day is a lot, and it's pretty stressful for me, and I don't really enjoy it. I'm good to know. I think I love walking. I think I love going on walks, and I think that's pretty great. I just taught a class today at the end, in fact, and it was sort of the whole exercise thing came up. And, you know, the doctor wants me to exercise. I was like, okay, but do you walk? Yeah, I love walking. Then you're exercising. I mean, we have all these ideas about that walking. Somehow walking is no longer an exercise. Like, it's just because we have bands and you know, spinning bicycles, that therefore now walking has just been relegated to just a useless exercise. It's just a useless activity. Walking's useless. Walking's nothing. If I can't get my heart rate up to 1,000 on a machine, then what does walking do for me? Well, it's because it's all you ever need. And I love running. Love it. Don't need to do it. Don't need to do it at all. I'm very mindful that I am increasing the stress by running versus walking. And so I make sure I eat well. And then I'm doing these things like the breathing to enable my body to do that better with, guess what? Conserving stress. 4 to 5 heartbeats less per run, less stress, guys, less work on the heart, on the old clicker, as somebody calls it, probably in the old West. I don't know. That's where I'm at. That's where my brain is. That's where I want your guys' brain to be. Not to never do a diet. You can learn a ton from a diet. You can learn a different way of eating, different dishes, different tastes. You can learn about nutrition by doing a diet. You can read all about that stuff, and you can try it out. And you can know enough during it to say, I'm not going to follow it on day 5 because I'm going on a trip with my family and it's not appropriate, but it's okay because this is a learning process, a short-term learning process. If you guys from now on for the rest of your lives come out of diet as a short-term learning process, then the benefits that you may or may not get are very much ancillary, just like the ones that I'm getting from the Wim Hof program. I wanted to get in it as a learning thing. Then I thought, I wonder if I'll also see benefits. Bonus, because I am fantastic, but I'm learning a ton because opening myself up to this thing has made me I've chosen to do deeper research on cold therapy, physically what happens in the body. Do I need to read it? No. But I've been reading about the breathing technique, physically what that does in my body. Do I need to know? No. But I'm curious about it. And if I decide to weigh in as a person who's going to vouch for this program, I want to be able to back it up and say, yeah, here's why. Because this stuff happens just like I do with nutrition. I don't personally need to know anything about food other than when I eat a heavy box food, it's better for me than a light box food. But I got the stuff. I got the info in the brain because I got to back it up. It's what I do as a job. So I go, well, this is why I want you to eat this way. Otherwise, you'd be like, can you explain it? I'd be like, no, just it's on a need to know basis. Just follow me. Okay. One last note in this regard. Small steps, all of them. Because there was a guy I know quite well now, but he said, you know, this Wim Hof thing is like a small kind of additional stress, and it works better in his life than the small steps that he's doing on his steps list. And I was like, well, to me, they're one and the same. All small steps are stress. I want to be very clear about that. All small steps that you take are stress. Anything that you do that you think about and expend a little additional energy than you would, let's say, brushing your teeth, which you spend no mental energy doing because it's such a habit that you don't think about it anymore. Anything new that you do, even taking deep breaths, is a stress because it's new. My argument is, that's the best way to begin the process of making that a habit that you don't have to think about. And then it comes off your list, of course. But in the beginning, it's stress. You go for a 1-minute walk and you've never exercised any before. It's a stress. Now, is it a big stress? No, not all. In fact, it's a very useful stress. It's what I've called, and I'm not the only one, adaptive stress. It's enough stress to allow your body to play catch up. And also to eat ketchup, which I find is very good. It's tomatoes. It's totally healthy, guys. It's a heavy box food. But back to the subject. You guys got me distracted there, okay? So I'm again, not appreciative of what you just did to me just then. All small steps are stress. Adaptive stress. I was talking about today in the class. It's like the stress of the modern world is such a massive amount of stress that I think, this is just my opinion about the whole thing, that we're still playing ketchup. Hundreds of years we've sort of modernized culture and we've modernized cities and we've we've created technologies and they're ever evolving for sure, but we're always in this kind of, and I don't think we've caught up. I think we're just playing catch up. I think our problems physically and mentally are a result of the fact that we have not caught up yet to the nutty nut stuff that we invented in the frickin' first place. We invent the car and we invent ways to never have to move our bodies. I was just in the airport, moving walkway. Just get on this thing to just, because you don't want to walk 50 feet. Why would you want to walk 50 feet? And trust me, everybody on there isn't in a wheelchair or handy or, you know, can't move. There's most people on those walkways can move. And they just, why would they? Because they're conserving, I might as well conserve energy until I get the peanuts on the airplane that are going to be a ton of more energy that I didn't have to work for. That's our world. And we're playing catch up to that. Our bodies don't know how to deal with that level of stagnancy mentally and physically. Small steps are stress. And they put us out of our routine. They break us out of that routine. That's the very power of them. It's in those moments that they break us out that we find the brilliance and the genius of us and the strength of us is by those moments of breakout. But understand that they are all stress in some fashion. The question as a small stepper should be, is this step too stressful or too little stress? Is it too easy where it doesn't do any, I feel like it's nothing? Or is it too much? Like that 2 minutes walk might be too much. The difficulty, of course, as a small stepper at learning this program that I, you know, my approach to this anyway, is that sometimes we have to eat crow a little bit. And that is that we have to admit to ourselves sometimes that 2 minutes walk might be too much right now. Whoa, because then we go, oh, but compared to what I've learned was exercise, which is 30 minutes in a gym, why can't I do 2 minutes? My gosh, because of your life and because of your mental state. That's why. And if you can find that 1 minute is your deal and that's perfect for you and that gets you off your butt and it's a moment where you go, I can do this. I can exercise every single day, and you become somebody who exercises every single day. Then, like I say before, 1 minute turns into 3 miles in a matter of months. It's quick, but you got to get in the door there. But understand, just so you guys know, that this is a overall and above, and I talk about this when I teach nutrition classes, this is a question and a discussion of stress. This whole thing is a discussion of stress. It is how do you enable yourself to live better in a nutty nut world without adding additional stress that you're already under every day by doing everything that every other human being does, which is stressful for us because we just don't know how to handle it very well. How do we eke out a better life in that regard? How do we eke out a better life by not piling on a ton of extra stress on top of the stress we already have? And there you go, my small steps. By just the little moments of adaptive stress, little minutes of adaptive stress, little things of joy, but in minimal amounts that don't make us dread that very thing. If you love yoga and it's great and you used to practice like I did, but then now given the fact that I have kids, for instance, and I can only talk about me because I don't know you. I love what you're wearing, by the way. I love the plaid. To me, I wouldn't do the paisley. I don't want to be judgment. Let me act on compassion. I think it's fantastic that you're trying to marry paisley and plaid. I think that's fantastic. Okay. Judgmentally, I think it's absolutely horrific and I need to wear sunglasses to look at you, but I think it's amazing that you're expressing yourself. See how I did that? You know how I learned to do that? Because of what they do down there. Small steps are stress. You add them in because you want to break out in your life and live a better life, but you pile on too much and you burn out and you feel like a failure and you don't do the very thing you set out to do, which was to change your frickin' life. And so this is, to me, a better way to do that. Is the Wim Hof program making my life better? Yeah, absolutely. But not because the 10 weeks I think is going to turn that thing around, like I said. It's making my life better because it's an adventure, because it's fun, it's something new. And I haven't had to turn my life upside down, but it's a discovery method. So is a diet. A diet can be a discovery method. A diet fails when you want it to make you lose weight. That's when a diet fails. But If it's a discovery method of maybe a new way to eat such that you actually do lose weight, but really you get healthy and it's like a long-term 1 or 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, rest of your life kind of picture, freaking fantastic. Same diet. The only difference is how you approach it versus how somebody else approaches it, which is that they want to get their scale weight down as fast as possible so they could tell all their friends that they did this and how look at how amazing they look, only to find out 6 months later that they've gained all the weight back and then some. See the difference? Diet hasn't changed. The author of the diet, not a bad person. They're just putting it out there. How you come to it, boom. Now, if they sell you a life-changing thing in 21 days, I got judgment about that, guys. I got judgment. I've done 159 episodes of this. I got more to come. Why? Because even my approach doesn't turn. I work with people for a minimum of a month. I work with people for a month. I stopped doing consultations like 3-4 years ago. I was like, I'm never doing a one-off consultation again. And I've turned down work, literally turned down work. Somebody's like, can I just get a consultation? I'm like, no. No, because I'm not interested in handing you information that you're not going to follow. That's boring to me and totally, I don't want to set you up for failure. I want to be somebody who is a part of your life that makes you successful long-term and gets you thinking. The month that I work with you, still a drop in the bucket. Still, if you have ever worked with me, you know what I say. This is just the beginning of this. You're learning this system. And that's what this podcast is there for too, to teach you guys this system that you then learn and then take for the rest of your life. That's what this is about, okay? This is not a results in that way, results kind of external results kind of BS kind of thing. Dig? Okay. One last just quick minute of what I'm talking about here is these things like diets in the Wim Hof program, I've mentioned it, I think, in one of my videos, they're external. I mean, they are external, they're explainable, and I can refer you to them just because I find them too. Here's what else is external, the small steps. The small steps list, the steps list that I talk about all the time, building your step, that's an external, it's a thing too. The difference is that you're creating it, it's what you did, it's customizable, you're adjusting, it's a living document, and I don't want it to live in your head. Again, coming back to last week, get it out of your head. I need it to be, for you to be successful, out of your head. It's too much to have to think about 7 to 8 different things, which by the way, could equal, and I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you this, 3 minutes, 4 minutes of time. That's happened with multiple clients. They'll have 8 things on their list and we add up the time, it's like 3 minutes a day and making an enormous difference in the way that they live every other part of their lives. But it's an external thing. It's a thing that lives outside their head that they can physically look at. And it's... I think it's necessary for it to be that way. I think that the modern world crowds our brain so much that for us to have to think, well, what was that other thing on my list? Wasted energy. Just have it on a piece of paper or on your phone so you don't, that's one thing you don't have to think about. When you go to take your 3 deep breaths, because that's what's on your step list, you don't have to expend any mental energy trying to remember what was on your step list about the breaths. What was that thing about the breaths? What was it? Oh, wait, it was breath. Oh, I haven't done the, all wasted time. Don't spend a freaking moment on that stuff. Dig? Okay. The subject of this week's podcast, okay? You're good. You're a good for nothing. You're a good for, you're ever called good? You're a low down good for nothing. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about doing nothing. I want to talk about the lost art of literally doing nothing. Just nothing. And here's why. Hopefully pretty obvious, but the world is all about the somethings. You can never have to do nothing. There is something to be done pretty much all the time. It was inspired by one of my one of my YouTube videos, and somebody was like, yeah, when I stop, I always feel like I'm not being productive and I'm not doing something. And my response back to that person who commented, which is awesome, he listens to the podcast and he's great, like super, his comments were amazing because I feel the same way. If I stop for a minute and don't do anything, this has happened multiple times in my car where I don't have a podcast on, I don't have any music on, I'm just driving, and I get like twitchy. I'm like, oh, reach for the stereo, reach for the, it's like, no, should I call someone? We have lost the ability to just freaking stop for a minute. And what does that do? Well, I believe that that energizes us. I believe that when we get back into our lives, we are more efficient. We are more productive. try this week. This is my task for you. Try to do nothing one time. 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes. Choose your time. Sit down. Don't breathe. Don't journal. I mean, breathe. I'm not saying don't look. Yeah, I have to email you. I have a bone to pick. You told me not to breathe, and I passed out and banged my head on the coffee table, and I am going to sue you because you told me not to breathe, and I always do what you tell me, and that is not okay. Breathe. I'm just saying don't consciously breathe. Don't do a breathing thing. Don't breathe in for 6 seconds and hold for 2 seconds and exhale for seven. Don't do any of that stuff. Just don't do anything. Don't even look at it. Just don't do anything. You will see how hard that is. There is an art to doing nothing. And 1 minute isn't going to tip the scales, guys. You're not going to be, gosh, I didn't get anything done today because I spent 1 minute doing nothing. I think there's a certain aspect of the productivity model in the modern world where we prize and we value. They're very productive. I try to be very productive. And I think that gets us into a pickle sometimes because we feel like we should be doing something all the time. Even if it's just watching a show or something, we feel like we should be doing something for entertainment or for productivity or something. Like we're doing something wrong if we just don't do anything, nothing. Even on our breaks at work, we don't do nothing. We surf the internet or we watch a video or we call a friend or we whatever. Productive, even if it's like great productivity, like we do shoot a video or we write a poem. Amazing. Amazing. This is not all, again, there really is no judgment here about that. It's just, have you ever taken a break and spent a few minutes just sitting in your freaking chair and not even trying to think about anything? Just literally sitting there? It's very weird. And you will feel like I do, maybe this like instinctual reach for the phone, for the computer, for the whatever, to your cell phone or phone to call somebody. You're going to feel this kind of like, and it's sort of like, have time, need patience. Like we have a minute to do nothing, but we need the patience to pull off a freaking minute. I mean, how amazing is that, that it's hard for us to do that? This was the sort of, I got put in time out. I was on a long run by myself. And it was very, very difficult for me to pull that off because I haven't run by myself. I've usually run my long runs with Bree and or Sid, and I have that kind of like way to do it. And I was running, by the way. I wasn't not doing anything, but that was even hard to just pull that off, to be able to handle that. We feel the need to be busy. Years ago, I used to work with this person, and all he would talk about is how many hours they work. I work so many hours. I am just, I'm just here all the time. I work, and I was there I just was more efficient. So I got like 8 times the amount done in less time, but there was a part of me that was like, oh, I feel bad for leaving at 4:30, even though I got 16 times more done because I didn't put the hours, because the perception is that I'm less productive because I'm not doing something busy work for 10 hours and I can, put in a long day. Well, I put in a long day too. I just did it in a faster amount of time. That's called efficiency. So what do I do with that leftover time is up to me, and that's what I want for you guys. But this week, I want you to try out just a little experiment of, am I good for nothing? Am I able to pull off nothing? Nothing. Remember the what if series from last week? What if in your lunch break, before you open your bag of lunch or go to your cafeteria, you sit for a minute. A minute is a very long time when you're doing nothing. Trust me, it'll kind of make you nuts, but you'll get better at it. And you realize that it stops, and it's okay that things stop, that you're not doing something to pass the time all the time. How that affects your life can be a bunch of different ways. For me, it just puts the brakes on in a very cool way. And I'm like, if I can't sit still for 1 minute, no meditation, no journaling, no conscious decision to do anything, just frickin' stop. It's harder than you think. I want you to try it this week. Will you do that for me? Will you do that for me as a favor? Dig? Okay. That's the subject of this week's podcast. All right. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, where has it been that we just have to be something we can say, I did this during this minute. But what if we said, I just did nothing. I just sat and I did nothing. I almost didn't even sit. I just was doing nothing. I happened to be in that position, but I don't even think about it because I just did it. Nothing to do that. All right. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of my what if series from last week. Okay. And here's the thing. What if you spent a day where you married different behaviors? What if you spent a day where you didn't stop to eat, but you ate and took a walk at the same time? Where for lunch, same thing. You grab something so simple. You grab some fruit for breakfast because you don't have to prepare it. You don't have to do anything. You just grab the fruit, you put it in your pockets, and you walk around outside of your house and you just eat that day. What would happen if you did that? And for lunch, you grab a friend because you can socialize and eat and move your body at the same time. You bring a sandwich, something you can eat while you're on the move, and you go on a light walk with a friend. You've just tackled three things that I think are approaching the natural: the social aspect of our species, the nutritional aspect of our species to nourish our bodies with real food, and the movement side of our lives, which I think is completely natural for our bodies. You marry all three. You do that. Same thing when you get home. You marry different behaviors together. While you're brushing your teeth, you take deep breaths too. While you're eating dinner, you walk around your house and you listen to music. You get a creative thing going on at the same time that you're nourishing your body, that you're moving your body. You think about multiple goals at the same time in the same amount of time. It's not partitioned of, I move my body from this time to this time, then I eat from this time to this time, then I listen to music from this time to this time. How great is it that we have the ability using our brains to marry different behaviors at the same time? What if you called a friend because you have to go to the supermarket anyway to shop for yourself, but you call a friend and go, hey, do you want to go shopping with me? I don't really have time to socialize, quote unquote, but I can walk around the supermarket with you and hang out with you while we're shopping together and just walk down every aisle together and talk like we people do sometimes. Can we marry different behaviors and say, what am I doing that's habit? Can I bring in a seemingly unrelated habit in conjunction with that, like the deep breathing while I brush my teeth? And by the way, I have clients who do that. By the way, they're brushing their teeth anyway, and they breathe while they're there. Marrying those two things. What if your day, at least sometimes, married multiple activities that make you feel good in the same amount of time that previously you did only one of those things? What would happen if you did that? You want to try it out this week? Don't do a whole day of it even. Try one, just one time for lunch. Just bring something for lunch you can walk around with and just walk around. Where? Nowhere. Anywhere. Doesn't matter. Down the halls. Doesn't matter. Just, I got to go somewhere. I'm busy. I got to get over here and just point off into the distance to no real destination at all. And people be like, oh, they're going over there. I shouldn't bother them. They're on their way over there, over west. All right, you guys. You're doing great. Keep the emails coming. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. That's how you reach me. I'm accessible that way. Okay. I think I've emailed back every single email I've ever gotten. Okay, pretty good. Maybe there was one nutty nut nut. I don't remember. Who knows? 99% of them. Okay, you guys. sidgarzahillman.com is where you go to find out anything you need to know. Boring. Social media. Okay. Come here next week. That's the most important thing. Watch my videos. Also important, YouTube channel. Subscribe to my channel. Tell a friend, will you? Give me an iTunes review. Go to iTunes. I've gotten some really nice reviews, by the way. So thank you to everybody who's doing that. Again, this podcast is ultimately brought to you by you. You guys are there. And the reason that I come here is because you're there. If you weren't there, I wouldn't come. Okay, I wouldn't talk to myself. I already talked to myself enough in the mirror. Now I just put a microphone in front of my head and it seems to work out okay. I'll be here next week, you guys, with the Approaching the Natural podcast. This Sunday, we'll be in San Francisco. So if you're around, would you come say hi to me? Okay, it's nice to actually put a physical face to anybody that listens to this podcast. It'd be pretty great. Come by and say hello. I'll be at the Stanford Inn table all day, and then I'm speaking at 1:30. That's Sunday, October 9th. Okay? All right, you guys. You're doing great. Hang in there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Maybe just wake up with the idea that you're going to take care of yourself. Even if you don't pull it off that day, I think it's an amazing thing to say, I'm going to try to do this. I believe I'm worth taking care of. That's where you start with this, guys. I'm not kidding. We have enough crap to deal with every day. It is hard to eke out a decent life and not get overtaken by stress. I get it. I work with people all the time. I'm in it myself, okay? So we're in it together, and we help each other, and we dig it, and we have compassion and kindness as a species that is amazing. And we tap into that more, we do better every freaking time. I'll be here next week, you guys. And in the meantime, be well.
That you hear don't come from my head. I'll decide never to let weakness rule me. These sentences to you, they are silk lined with half truths, made to be bigger than they ever. Is drastic, so drastic. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard. Sometimes I feel so hard.